Nikki.
Yes.
How are you feeling 100 days into the new Trump term? You know, is it kind of as delusional as you expected or more delusional? Yeah. How are you?
How am I? Mm. How am I? Mm. I am so goddamn tired. I am so fucking tired. When does this, can we find out how many days until this term ends?
What? Quick maths, but I'm going to say about...
No, there's websites that can do this for us.
No, I've got it on the top of my head. About 924. No, it's more than that, for sure.
36912, that's 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
So where you got 900 from? Oh, yeah, architects, maths, though, can't...
Yeah, because I'm an art-loving man.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's about 1,400, let's say-ish, I'm guessing.
Sounds about right. I can't.
Anyone want to tell me I'm wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. But
wrong.
I don't think you've got the mental maths too. So
I don't.
Don't worry about
I really
it.
Don't. How am I feeling? I'm really tired. I think like it's just important to acknowledge that the 100 days mark is just sort of like a traditional milestone. There's no real commemorative marker here other than all the media retrospectives. It's traditionally, you know, it's about 3 months into a presidency. It's kind of when the new penny shine of the new presidency has worn off and people start forgetting a little bit about the news cycle, moving on to other things. The new penny shine has not worn off. If anything, we are all being crushed under a giant mountain of pennies.
Shiny pennies, though. Mm.
Shiny, but incidentally, gold. I think the one thing we can all agree on is Trump got rid of the penny, no?
Did he? He got rid of the penny.
The penny.
Well, it's just gone. Like you don't have that.
I mean, yeah, they're
anymore.
gonna phase out the penny because it's 1 cent and it's only worth 1 cent. I think at this point it costs more to produce than it's actually worth.
Oh,
so he announced that they're phasing out the penny. But I am being crushed by this mountain of pennies that are all so shiny and so awful, and they're just being heated by the sun and it hurts. But I think the next 100 days, like we learned a lot. In these first 100 days, sure. They were bad. I think the next 100, 500, 1,000, whatever until this term ends
something
are
like
probably going to be a lot worse. I think whereas a lot of presidents come in and in this sort of milestone time period try to pass some of their like landmark legislation, it's a time when the president has the new president or, you know, reelected president has a lot of political capital within Congress. Especially in a situation like this where Trump is coming in with control of both parties in Congress and control of the Supreme Court, you would typically see a president try and like force through the biggest pieces of legislation they want to get through in their term into law. They would be working with Congress. They would be signing bills. Trump is not doing that. Mm-hmm. Trump has been governing by fiat through executive order. And I think what these executive orders are doing are not necessarily providing the endpoint of policy proposals that Trump ran on, but laying the groundwork for a larger project that we're going to see unfold in the coming years. So, yeah, you know, it's been bad. I don't think it's going to get better. And I think they have been 100 days unlike any other we've seen in recent presidential memory.
Nikki, what are some of the things that you think have maybe been forgotten about because it's been so crazy in the past 100 days or so?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton. And I think at Rolling Stone, my colleagues, Ryan and Tim, former guest on the pod, put out a really great list of 100 actions that define the first 100 days. Mm. Off the top of my head, if I think back to like the really early term, the pardoning of the January 6th defendants, I think was a real watershed moment. It kind of indicated right off the bat that this administration was going to do exactly what it accused the Biden administration of doing and be selective about the way it used the criminal justice system, the Justice Department, as a tool of political retribution. And we're seeing that unfold now in real time in the way they're targeting migrants, former whistleblowers within the administration, law firms who like either supported litigation or represented litigation against the Trump administration or have been involved in cases against him. Law firms are being punished. Basically, everyone is being punished, media companies. Obviously, there's sort of the big ones that you can't miss, like the tariffs, like the mass deportations. I think some of the admissions he's made, like the fact that he posted a video on Truth Social saying he was purposefully crashing the stock market. Really early in the term, he said in a Truth Social post that, like, anything he did, as long as he did it to save the country, doesn't violate a law. Like, that he is incapable of violating the laws of this country so long as he thinks that what he's doing is for the good of the country. I think that it made the news cycle for a couple days, but I think it's very indicative of just the attitude he's taking toward this presidency. And so much of the first 100 days have been defined by a lot of just, like, really petty, humiliating, embarrassing displays that reflect poorly on this republic, on the American people. You know, the yelling at Zelensky in the White House, the Canada's going to be the 51st state thing. Incidentally, congrats to Donald Trump on giving Canadian liberals an election victory they were definitely going to lose 2 months ago. That, you know, I don't think that's getting talked about enough, but, like, congrats to Canada. Like, thankfully you didn't end up with something like what we have right now. There's things that are going to continue unfolding. All of the Doge cuts, I just don't even think we can overstate how much was packed into the Doge cuts. The eliminating the Department of Education, cutting Ebola aid, cutting HIV prevention programs that people are already dying of because those programs no longer exist in developing countries. Everything. FEMA.
Yeah, there's a lot of
shit. I could keep going and going, but I'd love to hear if you guys have any thoughts on this.
I think the US aid cuts still, to me, feel like one which are, as you say, just so huge, so callous, and that, unfortunately, was massively in the news cycle for a very short period, and then seems to have been largely forgotten about. And I think when you do try and quantify the statistics of people who are being left to suffer, children who are suffering needlessly because of those cuts, I think they probably needed a good bit more focus and continual focus away from us just going, look at what the stupid shit he's done today is. Chris, has it lived up to your expectations the first 100 days?
Well, it was really hard to actually know what was going to come. But I don't think anyone can say that they'd be surprised by some of the things that we've seen. But I think this isn't a positive, but it's to Trump's credit that his strategy has meant that we have basically forgotten about a lot of these things because there's so much that's happened. And I think that's a reason why so much has happened is because they've wanted us to forget about some of the shit things that they've done. Like Nikki mentioned the Jan 6th. Releases. I'd pretty much forgotten most of that until Nikki had mentioned it then. And that is massive. That is a massive deal. Like, right out of the traps, that showed us where this administration was heading politically and what kind of policies that it was going to chase after. But also, it also reinforces that this term is a bit of a revenge tour, as we were talking about in the campaign. Like, this is Trump coming back and doing what he wants because he feels that he should have been in charge for the last 4 years anyway. And I think he said it in Michigan, actually. He was talking about the end of the election where it looked like it the Democrats might have come back. He said that he thought the Democrats were cheating again, which I think was one of his quotes from the Michigan rally. So I don't think there's any other way really to describe it apart from being just an absolute hurricane. Like, it's been so angry and fast that it's been hard for us to keep up with it all, but also equally hard to escape all of the shit at the same time.
Yeah, I think it frustrates me sometimes when people act like it's completely unpredictable, but I would agree with you that even when you knew it was coming, it still has felt like such a relentless onslaught. And just what has surprised me is just quite how the entitlement of power, like you're saying, like where it's like he thinks other people have cheated him or whatever, he's just come into it. I didn't expect him to quite act so bizarrely like he is a king.
Sure.
In quite the way he's gotten away with
Trump
behaving.
Gaza. Trump Gaza. That's an example of how weird how weird he's been behaving. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And, like, we could spend hours talking about the gutting of climate regulations in the United States, pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement, even, like, firing a ton of people at the national, basically, like, the weather agency here in the United States, taking over the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, one of the largest sort of supporters of art and culture and, like, theater at a national level in the United States. They took over that and are trying to purge it of wokeness.
Yeah, deleting historical files related to black servicemen.
Yeah.
The word gay being deleted because of, was it the Enola Gay plane? Yeah, a lot of
all the policies pushing transgender people out of the military and attempting to make it harder for women to serve in, like, combat roles in the military. The bungling of the response to the plane crash in D.C., like, on day three of the presidency. Gutting the, like, National Park Service, another insane thing that was just, like, completely unnecessary. There's, you know, there's a ton to unpack here, like, reproductive rights, targeting abortion activists, everything that's being done from the Department of Transportation down to Housing and Urban Development to Veterans Affairs to don't even get started on Health and Human Services with RFK Jr. We could spend multiple episodes going through all the things that have happened in this administration. And like I said earlier, the thing that I think frightens me isn't that this is like your typical 100-day, oh, we passed this bill, oh, we did this thing. This is the foundation for a much bigger political project that we have not seen even the true beginning of the downstream effects that this is going to have.
Mm-hmm. Nikki, we've actually got a bit of breaking news coming in. Very exciting here.
Yeah. Breaking news on day 101.
Yeah, well, obviously the 100 days, one of the big things was this whole Signal chat situation. So Mike Waltz, remind listeners who he is, and he's gone. Tell us why.
Yeah, Mike Waltz
See ya.
Is Trump's national security advisor. As listeners will recall, Mike Waltz was the guy who accidentally added Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg into the Signal chat where Pete Hegseth, you know, relayed, shared very sensitive attack plans because, you know, they insist they're not war plans because legally we're not at war with Yemen, even though we've been running an illegal bombing campaign for more than a decade against them now. But we're technically not at war. So they're attack plans against Houthi rebels in Yemen. Several outlets reported just as we were recording this on Thursday that Mike Waltz and his deputy, Alex Wong, are stepping down from their positions. If listeners rewind to when this scandal was happening, we talked about this. We talked about the fact that Hegseth was getting all this backlash, but that ultimately we didn't think that Hegseth was going to be the fall guy. That if anyone was going to have their neck on the chopping block, it would have probably been Mike Waltz. Because he was the one that added Goldberg to the group chat. I think there was already a bit of internal tension about his position within the national security apparatus, the White House. And it kind of feels like after Hegseth fucked up again and it came out that he had sent those same attack plans to another Signal group chat where his wife and brother were, it's like, you know, in the first one, they maybe had the excuse that it was like, oh, these are cabinet members. Like, they need to know about this, even if we didn't follow proper procedure, blah, 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 blah. Although they never admitted to any of that. They said this was completely above board. Hegseth's wife is a producer at Fox News, I believe.
Yep.
Fox News or Fox Business, one of the two. And then his brother is a media, like, communications person at the Department of Homeland Security, which is not Hegseth's department. He's DOD. So it was kind of like, why are you sharing this with them? And he was like, oh, it was media coordination.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of feels like someone needed to go because they were looking really fucking stupid. And it's Waltz.
So is Waltz basically, it does seem like he's going to be the fall guy for Hegseth. Because Trump's been pretty backing of Hegseth. The other day he joked something about him being one of the least controversial members of his cabinet or something along those lines. So Trump really likes this guy, doesn't he? So, yeah, this is just a, they've got rid of a stooge, essentially, here.